alive in our hearts, that we will just, your word will be quickened to us, and we will receive your word, and that word will change us, and we just thank you for it, Lord. Amen. Well, and New Year's, the Lord told us 2014, year of the gift, and we've been talking a lot about gifts, and this morning I just want to talk about the giving nature of God. Our God is a giver, and we're going to be studying about the giving nature of God. In the Old Testament in Hebrew, God had 72 different names, five principal names. And Mark 12:29 says, "The Lord our God is one God." And so we just have one God, but the different names show the different character traits of God and how he deals with us. I'm just one person. I'm just me. But some people, one man calls me sweetheart, some people call me mom, some people call me grandma, some people call me, hey you, or Barbara, or Mrs. Scott. People call me different things depending on their relationship to me, how they know me. They call me different. And God relates to us in different ways. Yahweh is the God of law, or the nature of the lawgiver, and Yahweh gave the law to Moses, and he was a lawgiver to the Israelites because they were a rebellious people, so he only could deal with them as with the law. And but King David worshipped El Elyon, who is the Most High God, the Father of Jesus Christ. He sent his Son because of his great love and his nature. The nature of El Elyon is love, light, forgiveness, freedom, life. He's a giver. And he forgave us because he wanted fellowship with us. But the Most High God is a giver. And El Shaddai is the name and the nature of God that loves, nourishes, and provides. And when you look in the original Hebrew text, Abraham mostly communicated with El Elyon and El Shaddai. And they were both the giving God. He related to God, the giver. And because the Lord has said this is the year of the year of the gift, we're going to be looking at the nature of God that gives. In Abraham's life, it shows the fruit of Abraham's relationship with God the giver. And we're going to be looking at our relationship with Abraham and how his blessings are ours because of our faith in God. Lucy, you can be going to Galatians 3:6-7. Everything's in the New King James, unless I tell you different. But Genesis 15:6, it says, "And he," talking about Abraham, "believed the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness." Because Abraham believed God, he was called righteous. His righteousness, God called, his belief in God, God called him righteous. Okay, Galatians 3:6-7. "Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are the sons of Abraham." Abraham's lineage and blessing was a faith lineage rather than a bloodline lineage. We're blessed because of our faith in God. Let's go to Galatians 3, the same chapter, down to verse 13 and 14. It says, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree,' that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." And then go on down to verse 29, and it says, "And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." So we can say Abraham is our father. You know, we are his sons and his daughters because we believe in Christ and we belong to Christ. So we are also Abraham's seed. Going to Genesis chapter 12, we're going to read 1 through 3. Now the Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. Abraham had to step out in faith, he didn't even know where he was going. God told him to leave and he had to go, not even knowing where he was going. He had to obey. He had to obey what God said to do, and obedience was the key to receiving the promise. Just a minute before we go to verse 2. James 2:20 says that faith without works is dead. And another way to say that is faith without a corresponding action is dead. Or obedience. You know, when we believe what God says, our obedience is the corresponding action that brings the faith to life. Down to verse 2. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make you your name great, and you shall be a blessing. God blesses us so that we will be a blessing. We receive a blessing so that we can bless others. Down to verse 3, I will bless those who bless you, and I will cause him who curses you, and in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Here it says, I will bless those who bless you. Partnership is joining yourself to someone that is blessed. And when you bless someone that's blessed, their same blessings come to you. That's partnership. We have people that partner with us in the ministry. They bless us in doing what we do for the Lord, and they receive the same blessings that we receive. 1 Peter 3, we're going to read 8 through 9. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. How do we inherit a blessing? By blessing others. By being a blessing, we inherit a blessing. We're going to talk about some of the blessings of being an heir of Abraham. Genesis 13:2 says that Abraham was very rich in livestock and in silver and in gold. I want to be an heir of Abraham. He was a very wealthy man. And we're going to go now to 2 Corinthians 8 through 9. And this says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich in heaven, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. There's all kinds of riches. Riches is not only money. You know, Jesus left his throne and he came to earth and was poor so that we could be rich. And that kind of, riches is all kinds of things. Riches is peace and joy and protection and salvation. But it's also prosperity, financial prosperity. We've seen where we're Abraham's children, and Abraham was blessed. He was rich. He was rich in flocks and silver and gold. And 1 Timothy 6:10 says that the love of money is the root of all evil. It doesn't say that money's evil. It says loving money is evil. When people love money, they're selfish, they're greedy, they're fearful. People that have money are always afraid they're going to lose it. You know, they live in fear, and they want more, and they want more. And that's the love of money. The love of money is really an evil thing, but it's not the money itself. God wants us blessed so that we can bless others. He wants us to be prosperous and bless us. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. So God wants to bless us so that we can help establish his covenant in the earth. You know, he tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You can't go into all the world without a financial backing, without money to buy gas, without money to buy Bibles. It takes money to go and reach out and establish God's covenant. But God said he gives us the power to get wealth so that his covenant can be fulfilled and established. And so I'm glad that I'm a child of Abraham. Amen. In Genesis 14, let's go to that, Genesis 14, verse 19 through 20. In this passage, Abraham had a divine visit from Melchizedek and two angels, and we're going to read those two verses. It says, and he, I'm not going to read the whole story because it would take too long, but he, talking about Melchizedek, blessed him, Abraham, and said, blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. So Melchizedek was saying that Abraham was blessed of God Most High, and he blessed the Lord also for the victory that they had won over their enemies. And it says then, and Abraham, or he, Abraham, gave a tithe of all. And so Abraham paid tithe, which a tithe is 10%. Abraham paid tithe to Melchizedek, and this was way before the law of Moses. And then later on, but he gave out of his heart. He didn't have to give. It was something he wanted to do. He gave from his heart. Later on in the law said that you had to tithe and that if you didn't, there was a curse on you. And but the good news is that in Galatians 3:13, it tells us that Jesus set us free from the curse of the law. We're no longer under the curse of the law. Praise God. So we shouldn't give out of obligation or fear or condemnation or the curse. We shouldn't give for any of those reasons. We should give because it's just in our hearts to give. It just comes from our hearts to give. You know, God is our Father and God is a giver, so it's real natural for us to want to give. And here Abraham, there's the sample of Abraham giving tithes. And in Hebrews 7:8, it says, here mortal men receive tithes, but there he receives them of whom it's witness that he lives. So when we do give our tithes or offerings to the Lord, who receives them? The Lord receives them. Hallelujah, he has them. We're going to read a little bit more about Abraham's son Isaac in Genesis 26. And we're going to start with 1 through 6. Hallelujah. There was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you, for to you and your descendants I give all these lands. And I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. And I will give you to your descendants all these lands. And in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. So Isaac dwelt in Gerar. Let's go down to verse 12. We're going to read verse 12 through 14. It says, then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. So God says, told him where to go, where to sow his seed, and he reaped in that year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous, for he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great multitude of servants. Isaac would not have been blessed if he had not sown. Where and when he sowed, according to the instructions of the Lord, was the key to his abundant harvest. It's important for us to hear the Lord and to obey. Hearing and obeying is the key to the harvest. Hallelujah. There's always a few who are blessed when the majority are shaken and fearful. Remember during the famine in the time of Elijah, and he went to the widow woman and he asked her for food, and she said, "Well, I only have enough meal for me and my son, and I was going to fix our last meal and we were going to die." But she went ahead and she fixed it for Elijah and gave it to him. And it says her oil and her meal never ran out. They just kept being there until the end of the famine. It carried her all the way. Her obedience carried her through. It brought the miracle. The current world economic crisis should convince us that it's time to get in alignment with the kingdom of God and his economic system. God's economic system isn't failing. God's not even pacing back and forth in heaven saying, "Oh my, oh my, oh my, their money's failing. Their money's failing. They're losing everything. They're in a mess. They've gotten themselves in a terrible mess." God isn't, he isn't even worried about it. And so if we will line ourselves up with God's kingdom, he will take care of us and he will bless us. Hallelujah. Amen. But it's important for us to hear the voice of the Lord and obey. Like Abraham and Isaac, we need to individually hear God's instructions and sow according to his instructions, because the faith and the obedience they had really produced a great harvest. We're going to look at some New Testament gifts. All the gifts that the Lord gives are not financial, but there are a lot of other gifts that he gives. James 1:17 tells us that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow of turning. So all the gifts that God gives us are good gifts. They're wonderful. Ephesians 2:8, salvation is a gift. Salvation is just a wonderful gift. Hallelujah. I'm so happy that I'm saved. I'm so happy I know the Lord. But Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God." We've been given a gift of salvation. We didn't have to pay for it. We just had to believe it and say, "Yes, I receive it." It was a gift. But then what do we do when we have a gift? Everyone that has received the gift of salvation is called to the ministry of reconciliation, helping bring other people that gift of salvation. Amen. Then there's Acts 2:28, the Holy Spirit is a gift. Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." In Acts 2, we have that account where they received a gift of the Holy Spirit, how it came upon them. We're going to go to Hebrews 2:4. It said, "God also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his will." The Holy Spirit itself, when we receive the Holy Spirit, that's a gift. But the Holy Spirit has multiple gifts that he wants to give us. And the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12:4 are tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. They're the word of knowledge and word of wisdom and discerning of spirits. They're the working of miracles, faith. Gifts of healing, and all of these are gifts of the Holy Spirit. And in 1 Corinthians 12:7 said, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. And so how many of us are supposed to have the gifts of the Spirit in their lives? All of them, each one, every one of us has the gifts, needs to have the gifts of the Spirit going through our life. And what are the gifts for? For the benefit of everybody. They're to give. We are blessed with the gifts of the Spirit so we can give the gifts of the Spirit. Hallelujah. We're blessed to bless. Hallelujah. Talking about the Holy Spirit, Jesus said in John 7:37-38, we're going to read that. He said, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. And so our first thing is we need to be thirsty and hungry for the Lord. We need to drink from the Lord and receive from the Lord. And then we need to believe. But I'm going to read verse 38 also in the Amplified. In the Amplified it says, he who believes in me, who cleaves to and trusts in and relies on me, as the scripture has said, from his innermost being shall flow continuously springs and rivers of living water. Hallelujah. So we, you know, God blesses us with the gifts of the Spirit, and he wants us then to begin to flow. Let that Spirit, let that living water flow out of us. Hallelujah. Everywhere we go, the living water needs to be flowing. Oh, yes. Thank you, Jesus, for that living water. Ezekiel 47, the whole chapter is about the river of God. It's an awesome chapter. But in verse 9, it says, and it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go, will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there, for they will be healed. And everything will live where the rivers go. So when we have the river of the Holy Spirit flowing out of us, it brings life. It brings life. Things live everywhere we go. There's life. Hallelujah. It's an awesome flow. Thank you, Jesus. And then ministry is a gift. Go to Ephesians 3:7. Of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. So when we have a ministry gift, we got it by the grace of God and by the power of the Lord. Ephesians 4:11-12 lists some of the ministry gifts, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. All of these gifts are, they're a gift of God to the church. The ministry gifts are God's gift to the church to edify and build up his people. 1 Peter 4:10, as each one has received a gift. Now, how many of us have received a gift? Each one of us. As each one of us have received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So when we have a gift, which we all do, it's to bless others and to minister to others. 2 Corinthians 9:6-7, and that this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one of us, as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. When we bless others, there's so many ways to give to others. We can give a smile. We can give an encouraging word. We can pray for someone when they're in need. You know, there's we can help with things financially. But there's a lot of ways to give to people. There's just like Nina took this lady that's in need pizza. You know, she took her something to eat, and her family. And so there's so many ways that we can give, but we're to give cheerfully and gladly. And another thing that we need to give cheerfully is our time. If someone's needing our time, instead of begrudging having to give time to them, we need to give it cheerfully. If God put it an opportunity to give, you know, sometimes we just need to give and do what we do cheerfully. Hallelujah. And give abundantly. We're going to read a parable in Matthew 25, and we're starting in verse 15. Okay, and I'm going to read this one in the New Living Translation. I just like the way it put it, so we're going to change to New Living on this scripture. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. The servant who had received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, "Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more." The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I'll give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." The servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more." And the master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I'll give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Verse 24, then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back." But the master replied, You wicked and lazy servant, if you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it." Then he ordered, "Take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away." The word here is use it or lose it. The gifts that God gives you, you need to use them. Don't hide them. Don't bury them. Don't say, "Well, you know, someday I'll do what God wants me to do." Because God has put a gift of the Holy Spirit, and he's put special gifts and callings in every one of you. Every one of you have callings of the Lord and gifts of the Lord in you. They're there. They may be buried right now, but they're there. And you need to be listening to the Lord. And when he tells you to do something, be quick to obey. Quick to obey, quick to obey. And he'll tell you in the simple things, in the little things. Listen to his voice. Listen to him. And as you use what he puts in your hand to do, it'll multiply. God uses unusual things. Remember Samson in the Old Testament? He used the jawbone of a donkey to kill 10,000 Philistines. These were armed men. But he took what he had in his hand, and God anointed it and used it. Remember David. What did he have in his hand when he came before Goliath? He had a sling shot and a stone. And Goliath had all of his armor, his sword. He was huge. But David won. He used what was in his hand, and God anointed it. God puts things in our hand, and if we will use what's in our hand, what he's put there, or what he tells us to do, that, I mean, it was really kind of silly for Sam, in the natural way of thinking, it was silly for Samson to try to take after all of these Philistines with just a jawbone of a donkey, but God anointed it. It was in the natural, it was foolish for David to think he could beat a lion, a warrior, a giant, a warrior with a slingshot and a stone. But he said God was with him, and he used what he had. Remember Moses. God gave him a rod. He had a rod. And over and over and over through the story of Moses, God says, stretch out your rod. Stretch out your rod. Remember what happened when he stretched his rod over the Red Sea. It parted. It parted and made a way for the children of Israel to cross over. God is putting things into your hand this year. This is the year of the gift. And it's important to be obedient in giving what you have to give and what God tells you to do. Don't worry about what you don't have. Don't think, well, I can't do that, and I can't do that, and I can't do that. Don't look at what you can't do or you don't have. Use what God puts in your hands, and use the thought that God puts in your drops in your heart. Use what you have. Remember when the multitude were following Jesus, and they'd followed him 3 days, and they were hungry, and he says, what do you have? And a little boy had 2 fish and 3 loaves of bread, 3 little breads. And Jesus said, bring it to me, and he put it in his hand, and he blessed what he had. He blessed what it was in his hand, and he fed 5,000 people, plus women and children. He fed a lot of people. A little handful, what he had, fit into his hand. He said, let me have it. He fit into his hand, the little he had, and it fed a multitude. Hallelujah. Remember in the book of Acts, Peter and John were walking to the temple one day, and there was a crippled, poor man sitting there begging. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. They didn't have any money to give the beggar, but they had the power of God to give him his health back, for him to rise up and walk. Hallelujah. We're going to read a story. We're going to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Hallelujah. This is an awesome chapter. And we're not going to read the whole chapter because it's just too big, but it's really awesome. Shows the power of God and the unusual things God uses to bring the victory. Okay, then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you. And Jehoshaphat feared. I mean, this multitude that was coming against him was way bigger than he was, and he was afraid. So when he was afraid, what did he do? He set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. Hallelujah. It pays to seek the Lord. And then we're going down to verse 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army. And they were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now when they begin to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. What an unlikely weapon. God used the praise and worship team, worshiping the Lord. And when they worshiped the Lord and did it like God said to do it, obeyed his voice, the enemies were defeated. And it said not one escaped. Not one escaped. Hallelujah. Oh, God. You know, God, the trouble is when we try to figure out things in our own mind and we try to think, how is this going to work? God is going to put things before us that if we try to reason it with our mind, we're going to say, no way, you know, that's not going to work. But stepping out in faith and obeying what God says to do, He will work and turn the situation around for His glory and for your blessing. Hallelujah. We're in Judges chapter 7. When a great army came against Israel, it was a great multitude came against Israel, and Gideon called for men to come from all over Israel to help fight. And it says that 32,000 men showed up to fight for Israel. That was a pretty good army. It still wasn't as much as what the enemy was, but it was a bunch of people came to fight. And you know what God did? God began to call out that army. And he said, okay, send them home and send them home. And anybody that's afraid, go home. He started out. And then he made other tests and says, okay, send those home. Gideon was left with 300 men. And God says, I'm taking away your force of men so that everyone will know that God won this battle. It wasn't by your natural strength. It was the hand of God that won this battle. And so the Lord gave him visions and told him what to do. A word of the Lord came to Gideon and told him what to do. And he gave all those 300 men a trumpet and a pitcher that had a fire in it, a clay pitcher. So the army, all 300 men, they carried trumpets and a clay pot. And they divided up into three parts, and they got on all sides of the enemy in the middle of the night. And Gideon says, okay, when I blow the trumpet, you blow your trumpets and then break the pitchers. And so here in the middle of the night, I'm sure the Lord even multiplied the sound. There was all these trumpets surrounding the enemy, and the sound of the clay pots breaking and the lights that shone, it just looked like they were surrounded, and they fled, and they were all defeated, and they all went out, and the enemy went home. God won the battle, a huge battle, with 300 men with nothing but a trumpet and a clay pitcher. Hallelujah. When God tells you to do something or how to do it, don't short circuit God's plan by trying to figure it out in your own mind. Just obey the Lord. Just obey what He tells you to do, because He wants to be glorified in it. Hallelujah. One of the neatest testimonies I've ever heard, years ago when we moved from New Mexico to Sierra Vista, we went to Shiloh Church, and it was a long, long time ago. But they, a few years back, they had been trying to buy their first building. And they had been raising money and gathering a building fund, and they had a big payment coming up. And they looked at their building fund, and they only had like a tenth of what they needed for their payment. And the Lord told them, I want you to take what's in the building fund out of the bank, put it in cash, and Sunday I want you to pass it around the congregation and pray first and say, God, I ask that you put in people's minds ways to multiply this money and make money. So they sent the offering with all of the money that they had in their building fund and sent it through the congregation, and people, the Lord began to put ideas in their mind, and they'd take out what they needed. And one lady thought, I can make tamales. And she took out enough to buy all the stuff she needed for tamales. Another man says, I can sell music tapes. I can make DVDs and sell music tapes. And he took out enough to buy the supplies that he needed. And the Lord gave people all kinds of ideas when they were praying. Ideas would just come into their mind. The next week, they passed the plate around and had 10 times the money that they had given out. And they had plenty to pay the big payment that was due. I mean, can you imagine having a debt and giving all the money you had away? It was a plan. God says, do this, and they did it, and it worked. Give, and it shall be given. But here, in these times, it's so important to hear the Lord. And to hear the Lord, you need to quieten your mind. You need to come to a place where you're just quiet before the Lord, just quiet, and just put your mind on the Lord. And many times as you quieten yourself before the Lord and know you're in His presence, ideas will just come in your mind. Things will just pop in your mind, and you'll know things that you didn't know. And you're not thinking about your troubles. You're not thinking of, you give up your anxiety in trust to the Lord. You just lay down all your own plans, all your own ideas, all your anxiety. You just forget about you and put your attention on the Lord. And when you do that, things will begin. God can speak to you things that you would have missed altogether. Hallelujah. We're living in very, very special times. Hallelujah. And God is a God of multiplication. He's a God that can use the most unusual circumstances. You know, Him giving Nina $500 in this reward, and she's a part-time employee. You know, she was thinking, there's no way I'm going to get this. But God set it up. God set it up. And we have to listen to the Lord. It's so important to listen to the Lord and to believe. When you are facing an impossibility, don't back up. Just move forward with what God tells you to do. And in the process of moving one step in front of another, God will begin to work. He works with the action of obedience. Years ago, when we first started taking Christmas programs into Tepachi, there wasn't a church there then, and we left to go down there, and we hadn't taken enough Christmas presents. It's a tiny town. We thought there's not going to be many kids here. I think we took about 100 gifts that day and was thinking that's going to be plenty for Tepachi. And we got, everybody in town came. We had like 250 people came to the program, and it was a big crowd showed up, and we just did our program. We told the kids to line up, and the littlest ones first. We always put the littlest ones in front of the line, and we thought, well, you know, in the natural, you think, well, the littler kids can get a gift and a sack. But all we just said, as we was giving up sacks, we just said, Lord, thank you for multiplying these sacks. Thank you that every child will get one. The last boy in line received the last sack. That's our God. That's our God. He multiplies in our actions. You know, we could have said, oh, we just don't, you know, we don't have enough for everybody. We can't just give to part of them. We just won't give the gifts because we don't have enough for everybody. No. God wants us to move forward thanking Him. In Kumpas, a number of years ago, there was a Bible school graduation, and they had fixed food, but they hadn't expected it. They thought it was going to be a real small service, and there was food for about a fourth of the people that were there. And Adelina kept sending news to Jesus and says, don't invite everybody to eat. We don't have enough food. And he had just invited the whole congregation. He asked Juan de la Parra to come up and pray for the meal. And Juan didn't know they were short of food, but he just started praying and said, God, multiply the food tonight. Multiply the food. And they gave big, full plates to every person. Every person. And the plates were so big, people couldn't even eat them all. There was enough food left over for half the dogs in Kumpas. And when they finished dishing out all of the plates, there was as much food in their pots as when they started to give food out. Hallelujah. Yeah, they sent portions of food home with all of the ladies that were helping. That's my God. That's my God. Give and it shall be given. And don't worry about what you don't have to give. Use what God puts in your hand and He'll multiply it. Do what you can. If there's an army coming against you and God says, you know, you don't even have to fight in this battle, just worship me. Then just worship Him. Just worship Him. Just worship Him. Just worship Him. You may not understand it. You know, our brain, a lot of times when we let our reasoning kick in, we short circuit the plan of God because He wants to be God. He wants to get the glory. He wants to do it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God is a good God. Good God. Good God. Good God. a giving God. And He wants to bless us so that we can be a blessing. And as we step out and bless other people, God's blessing will just come back multiplied to us. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Holy, 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 holy. This is something the Lord said New Year's Eve. It says, we will see marvelous things happen in exchange of all types of gifts, from the gift of our smile to the gifts of even houses and lands. We are to be alert to the 9 gifts of His Spirit and expect much giving and receiving of their working in our personal lives and ministries. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want everyone to stand up. And God says He gives the gifts of the Spirit to each one and ministry gifts to each one. Hallelujah. And some of you may not know what your gift is, but He may want to give you another gift. He comes sometimes He uses in different ways. I just want us to raise our hands to the Lord because I just feel like God's going to be pouring out gifts, spiritual gifts right now. Spiritual gifts, natural gifts, raise your hands to the Lord and say, Lord, I receive gladly the gifts that you put into my hand, and I will use them, I'll listen to your voice, and I'll use them, and I'll give what you give me, I'll give it on out, Lord. I just thank you. I 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 thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for gifts of healing flowing right now into the people. I thank you for gifts of healing, the working of miracles. I thank you for faith dropping into people's spirits. I thank you for words of wisdom and words of knowledge and discerning of spirits dropping into people's hearts right now. For Torah Moshe, for tongues, the interpretation and the gift of prophecy to be just dropping in. Your gift of the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you that your gifts drop in. Oh, Raimbe Shene Andono Mona Nishini Ande Lana Bone Asheli Andaya Bonania Hai. Oh, Riande Vishinda Rabandaya Lenin. And Lord, I thank you for dropping financial blessings and financial gifts out to these people. That you will use this congregation in astounding ways. Oh, to send the gospel out to every direction. Oh, Konde ashe la rabandere ayotona na na mananio te le rebeo shola rabiai. Holy, holy Lord, yes, we receive the gifts, we receive the gifts. Oh, raine shanemona na na yalani ayotola rabaninda rabashandari ayoroboshe. Thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. Oh, raibe she. Oh, yes, 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 yes. There's a scripture that said that Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift that was given to you with the laying on of hands. And sometimes we receive gifts from the Lord by laying on of hands. There's impartations of the gifts of the Lord. Oh, Ramashe. And I just have a feeling that the Lord wants to give some of you a gift by the laying on of hands. If you just feel a drawing in your spirit, come and we'll pray for you. Oh, this is an unusual year. This is a different year. God's doing new things in this season, in this time. He's doing new things. Oh, la mahano, Meshe, and he is going to be receiving glory through what he does through his people. Oh, Leneshaim Bongani Ashe, Lemahonde, Naharaboshe. Yes, yes, yes. Money gifts, money gifts, money gifts, financial gifts. Oh, turn around, turn around, turn around. This is a time of turnaround. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.